League of Ireland Late Night
on Off the Ball.
Nice to know that Grimsby Town are listening to League of Ireland Late Night for your takes here, Mark, and good sales pitches on Derry City players.
Join me, Cameron Hill, on League of Ireland Late Night every Friday night at 10 on Twitter Spaces. Off the Ball, GAA.
All right, we've got a very novel final in the All-Ireland Ladies Football Championship, marking the 50th year of the competition as well. Galway and Kerry will meet for the very first time in the final. Two teams who are looking to bridge a long gap as well. Kerry haven't lifted the Brendan Martin Cup since 1993, and Galway's sole success was back in 2004. To break down the final, delighted to say we've got the 2020 Player of the Year, Amy Macken, with us. Amy, how are you getting on?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
I'm good. We'll dig into the game in a moment, but before all that, what a week it must have been, both around the Macken household and also around Armagh after the success last weekend.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's stuff you sort of, you want to experience as a player, and to see the boys, my brothers, experience, it's unreal. You know, I think the match has been on repeat all week. We haven't stopped watching it back, and we haven't seen the boys as much, but no, they're enjoying themselves, and rightly so.
Yeah, we were talking to Kieran Donaghy during the week, and they were on to, I think, day two, and he thought it was day three at that stage because he'd had about 6 hours sleep since Sunday, and he'd go to a wedding, I think, on day four. So he was in a pretty rough state. But I did see pictures up with some of the players as late as last night with Kieran Donaghy as well. So understandably, they've gone out and celebrated it, Amy. It's been a long time coming. It was a long time trying to even get past the quarterfinal for this group of players, but what a year they had.
Yeah, it was unreal. I suppose after the Ulster final defeat, you know, they were probably a wee bit deflated themselves after getting to another Ulster final and getting beaten penalties. But it's just every game they just built their own momentum, and obviously getting over Roscommon in the quarterfinal, and then coming up against the likes of Kerry, you know, who's a team that's in All Ireland semi-finals all the time, to go and beat them was probably a big moment for the boys. And then when you're in the final, you have every chance. So. Yeah, it was just when the final whistle went, it was just like euphoria. There was tears of joy. But you just know how much this team has probably went through on their own personal journey, and of course with the manager. So to see them lift the biggest trophy that they can get was just unreal.
I was reading as well during the week that Conor kept it silent from you and very much in the dark, even for your family, that he was coming in to do a job in the final. So it seems he was able to keep things under wraps all week.
Yeah, well, it's not different. Every week's the same. We would never discuss anything like that, you know, and the boys would never ask us and we never asked them. So I suppose that was the most important thing, to keep the week as normal as possible, because it wasn't circumstances that the boys have been in before leading up to an All-Ireland final. Usually we're going to watch the All-Ireland final as neutrals. So for us to experience that, yeah, it was just keep the week as normal as they could. And Conor was away working all week and training that night, so we never really seen him, which was like every normal week. So yeah, we find out at an event, and me and Dad sort of looked at each other with a wee bit more excitement than what was already there.
How intense were the kick arounds in your back garden as kids then?
Yeah, very intense. I think the best man is our dad to get on to discuss. He was usually the referee and he let a lot go. But yeah, no, it was brilliant. I think we were just saying in the house the other day, like, it's mad to think that when we're all kicking about, the two boys would have an All-Ireland medal now. And as I said, stuff you dream of. We used to go down to the club pitch and recreate Oisín McConville's goal from the 0-2 All-Ireland final. So I'm sure the nieces and nephews will have something else to recreate now, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I'm sorry the ACL injury came for you at a bad time of the year, really, because, like, with the ladies' football team at Armagh, you'd started the year so impressively and getting the league title, and the summer was about to stretch out, and then unfortunately for you, you're sidelined with the knee injury.
Yeah, it's not great. It's probably not the best injury to get either, just because the length of time it takes to get back and the recovery. But yeah, obviously for myself individually, it's not great, but I suppose for the team, nothing changed. And my goal was still the same as the team goal, which was hopefully to be playing in an All-Ireland final. And unfortunately, we fell a bit short. But listen, we'll just try to regroup again in the winter months. And I think now it's the same in the men's. It's very fine margins between winning and losing a game of football. So, you know, you need a wee bit of luck maybe involved too. But yeah, we'll just keep working at the process on our own journey. And I suppose it's the first year with the new management team, so we'll just keep looking to build on that. And yeah, hopefully can go back at it next year at some point, I will.
because I'm not sure if you take confidence or inspiration from what the lads have done by walking up the steps in the Hogan Stand, but you would have to take inspiration from what you've achieved yourselves. Like, as I mentioned, good provincial run, winning the league title earlier this year, like, kind of felt like important stepping stones, I suppose, along the way.
Yeah, I suppose in the league it was just about staying up. We didn't want to dwell on the league. We wanted to get into the championship and sort of create a new journey with us. Obviously, to win the league was brilliant, and to be the first team from Armagh. And it's just, I think, experiences for us as a county. I think I said at the time, to get to Croke Park for a National League final, Division One especially, to perform and to win that, it's an experience. Then to lose in the semi-final again, it's an experience. And then you take all these wee experiences. As you said, take inspiration from the boys. They've had been knocked down and knocked down, and they just kept going and going. And I suppose that's what we have to do as a team as well.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you get a bit of luck along the way.
I know, look, you're trying to get your hands on the Redden Martin is probably your main goal at the moment. How did you find your time in Australia? So given that Blondie had been out there as well, like, how did you find that as an experience playing in the women's AFL?
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. Obviously, the professional setup that they have over there, it's something you can learn and take away from when you get back over here. I think it's more the environment that is more beneficial, taking it back home, and you learn a good few things about how they train, how they go about their week on game weeks, and everything like that. But I think the experience is something that I'll never forget. Unfortunately, I'll not be able to play this year. Blaine will be heading back soon. But yeah, and the people in the club over there, you know, you're going over to the other side of the country, but they take you in like you're one of their own, which is nice too.
Yeah, I mean, was your aim always to be a professional sports person? Because having played, you know, soccer with Northern Ireland, having played at a high level with Armagh, I'm guessing professional sport or that lifestyle appealed to you, did it?
No, it wasn't the professional sport that appealed to me. I suppose this AFLW sort of came later for me. I went when I was 26, but the ultimate dream was just to play for Armagh. I didn't care about professional status or anything. And the fact maybe that it's amateur probably means a wee bit more. I know I obviously played soccer, maybe had an opportunity to go and play professionally. But I think what meant more to me was what my family and my friends and what I'm into. And that was just Gaelic football. And naturally enough, whenever the AFLW came around, the season worked well with our season. And there was no real challenges there, so which was good. It would obviously be a wee bit more of a difficult decision if you had to miss out on the county side of things. So it worked sort of well with the two seasons. So yeah, just sort of decided to go for the opportunity when it worked well.
Well, Amy, we want to talk to you because obviously you have an intimate knowledge of the two teams who are going to lock horns on Sunday afternoon as well. And when it comes to Kerry, Cora Staunton was saying to us last night, her one concern for Kerry, who she feels are kind of seasoned now between league finals and getting to a couple of All-Ireland finals in recent seasons, is that her only worry was that maybe Kerry might have a bit of emotional baggage having lost against Meath and against Dublin. And maybe that opens up an opportunity for Galway, if Galway do get a quick start on Sunday, that maybe some doubt might get into Kerry's mind, because they might think, we've been here, we've been so close, but ultimately came up short in the big day before. Do you think that's going to be a factor?
No, I'm not too sure it is. I know a good few of the Kerry girls, and they're well driven. And I think on the day, it's very, when you're a player, you just realise how fine the margins can be between winning and losing. And I think for both counties, they're both experienced in terms of club All-Irelands. Galway obviously got to the All-Ireland in 2019, I think it was. But I think that experience helps more so than anything. And it'll be very defined moments that they'll need that experience. It'll depend maybe who's on the ball in a certain moment and whether they are experienced enough to sort of get through the purple patch or whatever. But I think for both counties, it's a very even enough game. Obviously, played against both teams this year and pretty similar in terms of physicality. So I think it's going to be a great game and very even. And again, I think it'll go to the very, very fine margins, whether that be a block or a post hit or whatever. And it's just about who takes their chances, probably most on the day, and we'll get over the line.
Right, well, two All-Ireland finals we've had that were in the melting pot right up until the final moments in the last couple of weeks. I think we'd probably take that again. Like, when I think back to Galway in 19, getting to the final, I remember that's been the most wet and horrible conditions ever that themselves in Dublin played in that year. So it's probably hard to maybe draw too many conclusions from it. But like, Galway have kind of, would it be fair to say, me have worked their way into the season a little bit, whereby early in the year, a bit like yourselves, I guess they're... initial goal was to stay up in the league, and they found it a little bit difficult, and then they kind of worked their way through the championship. I saw them against Cork and against Laois back in the group stages, and there was this real feeling that Galway were kind of working their way into the year, and maybe they knew when they had to actually be at their peak here.
Yeah, to be honest, that's what I was thinking myself. When you watch back in their games, they were probably just building each game. You could see them sort of getting better and better, and as you say, maybe picking at the right time. And as I say, the Galway in the league was probably a different Galway team than it is now. They have the club girls back. And, you know, they have experience winning maybe All-Ireland, so that might help them in the day. But, yeah, I think each game they've got better and better. You can see their style of play. They're physical. They defend well, to be fair. And then they have good forwards up front that can do the damage as well. So, again, I'd probably say the same against Kerry. I think Kerry and our game, probably defenders got on top of both sets of forwards. I thought we defended them well, and they probably defended us well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be very even on Sunday.
You probably will have watched the tape ahead of that game because you've been working around with the girls and keeping an eye on it. But how hard is it to stop some of those Kerry forwards? I mean, obviously, Louise Nimmer-Hertig is the difficult one to really stop. And if she gets on fire, you're in trouble if you're in opposition up against them. Again, the feeling seems to be that she could well be screened or double marked at the weekend. And maybe the hope would be if you're Kerry, that might open up space for someone else if she's being really tightly marked.
Yeah, I think Louise is probably somebody that you don't take your eye off, as well as some of the other forwards in Kerry. But you might think she's being quiet or being marked well, and then she could probably do something in an instant. So I think that does have an opportunity for the other Kerry forwards. The likes of Shifra O'Shea came in against us, and they're very powerful. A couple of times they hit a long ball in, and they sort of won it. But I think that's their benefit is how powerful they are and strong in the air. So they might look to use that. And again, if Louise is maybe marked well, there's obviously definitely other girls that can stand up too, with the likes of Shifra coming in there and play the match against us. And Niamh Carmody obviously is the captain. So yeah, could be a forwards day on Sunday.
If you're a forward and you're being tightly marked, how do you approach it? And you can maybe give me an insight into this, because you know this sometimes happens. You'll see a star forward who goes out there, they're starved for ball, the opposition team maybe pack a defence. Like, do you just kind of stick with the game plan, or do you ever feel maybe that instinctively you want to come out and get more involved? Or how do you approach it, say, if you had a particularly tight marker on you?
Yeah, I think it's more an instinct. Obviously, naturally, as a forward, you want to get on the ball and you want to try to create things for your teammates. But I think it's about definitely a lot of change in direction to try to get rid of your marker and movement and space. And it's more instinct. And if you spot a gap, then you go for it. But again, it's the other players around you that have that sort of connection with you. And I think that's important in a team, to build connections with the players outside the field, because they'll understand without even a point or a call. They'll understand what I'm thinking in my head if they see a bit of space. And I suppose you're trying to kid your defender all the time, sort of doing decoy runs, but it's never the first run usually, and that's the more important one. It's usually maybe the second or third one. But I think important as a forward as well is to create space for other people. And I know the likes of Aoife McCoy on our team is great at using that. If I get out of the way, her and the likes of Niamh Henderson were brilliant at taking up the space. So yeah, it's instinct, I suppose, but you just get used to it as a player. You know, you're training. In training, it happens. I'm marked by probably one of the best defenders, including McCambridge, in training. So you're sort of well used to it when you're doing it a couple of times a week.
Yeah, because James O'Donoghue was saying this in the football pod last week, that the dream, he was saying, in a big game is just to get one ball that works to you, a nice easy kick somewhere around the D, and just kind of get your eye in early in the game. And he says everything just flows better after that. Well, the worst thing could possibly happen as a forward is you go into a game, you've gone through the parade and all the excitement, and then you don't get to see the ball for 10 minutes. He says that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I think as a forward, as a player anyway, you want to be on the ball. You like to be on the ball, especially forward players. And then I think it's more important, I think, of my first touch before I did anything else with it. So when you get that first touch, the first feel, and we sort of know where you're at. And I think it's just about then staying in the moment, no matter if you don't get your touch for a while again, or if you don't get on the ball for another while, it's just staying in the moment and staying present and forgetting maybe about a mistake that you did or whatever. But yeah, it's, you want on the ball as a forward and you want to affect the game as much as you can. So you're always trying to get on the ball, which can be hard work too.
We'll move over to Galway in a moment, but you already mentioned Sifra O'Shea and the impact that she's had. Again, she's come back from a knee injury and kind of raced back from a knee injury before. You know what it's like to come back and recover from one previously as well. Yeah, thankfully now she's fully fit and a huge asset for Kerry going into this final.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've seen it against us a couple of times. She's a good long range kicker, whether that be shooting or kicking to her inside forwards. But I think against us, she played in around the middle and she worked well as a link person between their backs and their forwards. But again, physically very strong, when she's running, very powerful, which a lot of the Kerry girls are and can be hard to stop. But then on the other side of it, when you can kick from long range, you can miss a lot of defenders. So if they get her on the ball, kicking from distance, it would probably be hard for Galway to defend that.
Galway have got lots of firepower as well. You know, their captain Ava Davern has been flying. I think you look at the scoring totals are being put up at the moment. So Roisin Leonard, just after winning player of the month, running into the final, which shows her form from the quarter and semi-final, she's got 4.13, and Olivia Dively has scored 3.16 throughout the championship as well. So that is plenty of forward firepower that Galway needed on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, definitely, and they've been playing really well. As I said, building momentum each game, and against Cork, I was lucky enough to get to watch a good bit of it, and you could sort of sense that control within their team. They never sort of feared Cork, or they just went about their business really well, and that's a sign of a good team, I suppose. And they always looked in control. I felt like they were just always going to win that game, just watching it on the day. And the likes of Roisin Leonard, a great free taker. And against Dublin as well, I think just that composure. You know, Dublin probably over the last few years have dominated ladies football, and to take them to extra time and be so composed in the latter stages of that game, I think is massive, and that will definitely stand to them as well in the final. And then obviously the likes of Olivia Dively, again a very powerful runner, so I think very like for like in terms of carry, strong carriers of the ball, and then good inside forwards that can kick a score from anywhere.
Yeah, and I think as well, that win at Dublin felt like a massive moment as well. To go up, knock out the defending champions, to grind it out in the way they did, to find a goal when they needed during the game as well. Like, if a team ever needed a shot in the arm in the championship, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a great game to watch, I think, from both sides. But it sort of impressed me how Galway went about their business. And they put a lot of pressure on Dublin and pressured their skills a lot, especially their forwards. The forwards worked well in defending. And they sort of probably matched Dublin at their own game plan, I thought. And yeah, as I say, in the dying moments, they looked so composed, you know, exactly when they needed a goal, they got it. And that's a sign of a good team, as I say.
And it shows a certain amount of bravery as well to press in the way that they did. I caught that game on the TV, and it was, you know, Dublin were trying to be aggressive on their kickout, and the next thing Galway decided, we're going to force you into mistakes. And they were happy enough when they reset to put that press on again against a team in Dublin who were really good at working the ball out as well.
Yeah, and obviously when you're going, you're putting so much pressure on, it might leave a wee bit of space behind. But I think if you get it right, it's hard to stop. And I know when you're putting defenders under pressure, it can be hard to see a way out. And I think Galway done that well. They really pressed up, were really aggressive in the pressure. And as well, Dublin were doing the same to Galway. And again, it was such fine margins that day too. But yeah, Galway probably took their goals well at the right time. I think they got that goal just before half time that kept them in well in the game. And yeah, they were obviously kicked on then in extra time. Fit in extra time, and they still kept that aggression. And for a play to them, that was a big one, I think.
Yeah, no great surprises. There's very few changes to the teams. Teams come out this afternoon. So Kerry are unchanged in the semi-final. Just the one change for Galway. They brought Emma Reaney in, who comes in for Ailish Morrissey. The two semi-finals, Amy, I think it's probably fair to say, in Tullamore a couple of weeks ago, were like, they were very, very cagey, very, very close. But maybe that's understandable when you get to the last four of the championship where, you know, Croke Park is on the horizon. It's just about getting over the line, really.
Yeah, I think that's it. Maybe in a way, semi-finals are harder or more pressure in a semi-final than in a final in a wee bit. But I think a semi-final is exactly that. You just want to get to the final. And I know as a player myself, you'll do anything, whether that be as a forward, dropping a wee bit deeper to sort of see a game through. And you'll maybe change up a wee bit away from the game plan a wee bit just to go with what's needed during the game. But I think both teams in our game especially, we probably started well and then we got an injury to Clodagh and Kerry got the goal and that just sort of swinged momentum for them. And then I think in the second half it was very cagey maybe. I think Kerry scored 1 point and we scored 2 points, so probably just showed how cagey it was. But yeah, obviously Kerry probably got that momentum swing in the first half, which probably changed the course of the game.
Yeah, the other game I suppose had a few more goals in it, and the goals proved to be absolutely crucial, particularly on Galway's side of things. But that's the way the game sometimes can go though, Emmy. You know, like, I wouldn't be totally surprised, as much as we've talked about how strong the forwards are here. You could well have two teams that feel each other out for part of this final at the weekend, and they've both shown that they can, you know, aggressively turn over the ball as well. There could well be a few kind of sticky, tight moments during this game, particularly with the nerves that are going to come around with both teams trying to win after such a long break from lifting the Martin Cup.
Yeah, I think exactly that, as well as maybe the men's game last week. Both teams, it was new to them and it was probably a wee bit cagey in the first half, but I'd say it'll be exactly like that, just feeling your way into the game. And as you say, for both teams, it'll be a new experience if they lift it. But I think that makes for a good occasion. I think last week it made for a good occasion in the men's because it was cagey and it was tense. At least this time, maybe I'm a neutral. Last week it was hard because I was a supporter. But yeah, I think that will make for a good game this week. Both teams will be dying to win it, and I'm sure they'll both go in with a lot of energy into it and aggression, which will make for a good game.
That's interesting. Forgive me for getting off the beaten track, but there were plenty here in the office and plenty online last week who felt that the men's football final wasn't all that exciting, and they said they didn't really enjoy it. Now, you're obviously going to be swept up in the emotion of your county trying to win a championship, but would you agree that it was too defensive or it was unexciting, or how would you have felt if you'd watched it without orange glasses on?
No, I actually confirm when I watched it back, I thought it was a great game because it was so nip and tuck and it adds so much excitement because every possession counts, and it'll be the same this weekend. So every possession will matter so much, whether it's in the first minute or the 70th minute. And I think it's just the natural way the game has went. I don't think it's totally defensive because I think defenders are getting forward on both sides. So it's a wee bit more like basketball. Both teams are getting in both 45s. But I think then, as I say, I think it makes it exciting because it is so cagey and no one's pulling away. So every possession, every block, every turnover, there was such a roar from the crowd, from both teams, and it just showed how much it meant. And I think that's what added to the excitement of the game. And then obviously in the last 10 minutes, there was a wee bit of turnovers, posts hit, blocks, and it just built up the energy around the stadium. I thought it was a great game to watch.
I wonder how much of a help it's going to be for some of those Kilkerran Clonburn players who were down the spine of the Galway team as well. Their experience of winning All-Ireland Club Finals, like, I know it's not the same as Intercounty exactly, but you know, they've been there on big days, they've won big championship matches, and I presume if there's someone on the team who needs to turn around to get a steering force, you look at maybe the Ward sisters who've been, you know, so successful in recent seasons, and try and use them, maybe get some experience or advice from them with all they've done with their club.
Yeah, I think overall it's probably not the be-all or end-all for both teams, but I think experience has definitely helped you, no matter if they're club level or county level. Just for the feel of going into the final will be a big thing, and both teams will have experienced that. The build-up this week, they'll both have experienced it. So I think it'll not be the defining moment, but again, it can help probably having girls I know in a dressing room that have been there and done that, you know, just for words of wisdom to any younger girls on the team and stuff like that. As I said, will it be the winning of the game? Probably not. It'll probably go down to one moment of brilliance maybe from someone. But I think it definitely helps a team in terms of the environment and communication on the field and off the field in the dressing room. It will definitely help.
You've made a reasonably strong argument for both teams being good, and the last couple of times in Kerry have won against Galway, it's been pretty narrow margins over the last couple of seasons. If I was asking you to call who you think is going to win, who do you fancy to win on Sunday?
I was hoping that was a question that wasn't going to come up. It's hard. It's very hard to know. Again, probably very fine margins, I think, between winning and losing in any game, especially in a final. Watching Galway, I think their momentum going into it has been brilliant. I don't really know who's going to win it, but I think after seeing Galway in the semi-final, I sort of thought how they were playing. They controlled the game very well. But then again, I could say Kerry as well, because of the experiences they've had. So do I have to pick one?
I think what you're trying to say here, this is going to be close, probably a coin toss either way, come 6 o'clock at the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
For you in the recovery, I was chatting to the Ireland midfielder Jamie Finn a few weeks ago, and she hurt her knee around about the same time as you, and she was saying, like, really, you're kind of looking at 10-11 months. Is that kind of the prognosis at the moment, or how's the recovery going to go for you?
Yeah, so I'm 4 weeks post-op now, so I'm still early days, and not really thinking of the latter stages of the rehab. I'm just sort of focusing on what I have to do now, but I suppose the baseline is maybe 9 to 12 months is what they say. But I think I don't really look too much at the timeline, because you have to tick boxes. And if I have to spend a wee bit more on one element of my rehab, I will. And how long that will take, I'll just see how it goes. I'll never put a timeline on it as such. But as I suppose the baseline that they say is 9 to 12 months. So you're hoping just that the recovery goes well. You have to be a bit patient, but also work hard at it. So that's the way I'll treat it.
Well, look, fingers crossed it goes well. We were asking Cora as well last night about the celebrations that are going to be on. She was saying it was 25 years. It was hard to believe how quickly time goes. She played in her first All-Ireland final, and they're going to be one of the teams that are celebrated during it. Like, this is a kind of a momentous occasion for ladies football at the weekend as well. It's final number 51, year 50. This is a massive celebration. They'll be hoping for a big crowd in Croke Park as well. But when you see how much things have probably moved on, even in your time playing ladies football, going to be a great occasion at the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be massive, and yeah, that's what I hope for. I hope there's a big crowd on Sunday and to celebrate the occasion that it is, and massive strides in 50 years, never mind. I've started in 2015 and there's been massive strides already. So yeah, I hope it's a great game, and I hope there's plenty of support from both counties and as well as our own players in the sport. I hope they get out to watch it and I suppose celebrate the occasion that it is, and keep promoting ladies football as much as we can as players.
Well, look, who knows? Maybe in 12 months' time, we'll be talking about Armagh getting a further step on, and we'll be talking about you playing an All-Ireland final as opposed to calling who's going to win it. Amy, thanks a million for joining us on the show this evening.
No problem. Thank you.
Off the ball. GAA.